from the Far East, from a karaoke joint in Tokyo. This is the Wayward Podcast.
I don't know what to talk about. So this is the Wayward Podcast. I'm Toshi.
I'm Sarah.
And this is kind of interesting because we record every 2 weeks, but yeah. This time we kind of had a break.
And yeah.
We had like there's a 3 week break for us because actual life.
Hashtag stuff.
And life happens. So we kind of we're actually. This is actually going to go up probably like 3 days after we record it. Because up until now, we've always been recording and it's like, it goes up like a week or so after. So like the news that we talk about that's topical is just like, that's not topical anymore.
Our boys are coming back from Vietnam.
Yeah. It's like, and Obama was in Japan. Yeah, he's back in the States already.
He's like... There's a new president already.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, wow, old news. But actually, so what has been going on with you these days?
I've been...
In this past 3 weeks that we have not seen... Well, we've seen each other, but we have not been recording.
I've been fighting a little tiny summer cold. Oh. Everybody feels sorry for me. But yeah, I'm just like coughing on everything.
How is illness in Japan? Like, is it any different for you? Like... I that's a weird question, I know, but, like, getting sick in Japan, is it any different?
Well, I've never been, like, terminally ill in Japan.
Terminally ill means you'd be dead. So,
yeah. But so, I've never had, like, anything really serious. But the common cold really sucks because a lot of over-the-counter medication is, like, 20 years behind the U.S. Mm-hmm. The U.S. over-the-counter medication is pretty good. Probably because prescriptions and stuff are so expensive. So, like, the FDA puts that kind of stuff through really quickly.
Oh, yeah. That's actually one thing. I'm sorry. Go on. I'll get to later.
One of the key ingredients in cold medicine in the U.S., as, like, anyone who ever watched Breaking Bad knows, is pseudoephedrine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not legal in over-the-counter medication in Japan. So pseudoephedrine is what makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't really treat the common cold because there's nothing you can really do other than wait it out. But they don't have that. So, like, the cold medicine here is like sugar pills. So you basically have
It's basically a placebo.
Yeah. Although I took something, an allergy, like antihistamine or something, and it worked pretty well, and I'm feeling kind of like, I just took allergy medicine.
Oh, you've got that kind of like drowsy haze over everything you're doing.
Yeah. So if I blink kind of like not in sync, like my right eye blinks first and then my left eye blinks like 2 seconds later.
That
you'll
means
know
you're
why.
Tripping balls.
Yeah. Woo.
Yeah. Japan's FDA is kind of anal in that they take a lot of time to let stuff through. So I actually worked for about a year in a place that would import medication.
Oh, really?
Because there's a loophole in that law, in that sort of regulation, in that if a doctor, basically writes to the FDA and says, I want to import this personally to use it, like this amount of this medication to use for this purpose, if they specify everything on a personal level, they can import it. It
really?
Is allowed, yeah, and they can use it.
Huh.
They're not
Good
allowed,
to know.
They're not allowed to stock it, and they need a medical degree, they need a they need a certification, but they are allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, because that stuff is not, it's not legal, or it's not really, it's not really approved by the Japanese FDA, mm-hmm. it costs a shitload more.
Oh, yeah.
So, and this generally, it goes for a lot of, what is it, cosmetic stuff, like Botox.
Oh, really? But,
yeah, and fillers, things like that. Those aren't really approved by the FDA.
Huh.
So there's a lucrative market in that. You've seen around like a lot of plastic surgery.
Yeah,
and cosmetic places,
especially
in
like Roppongi.
Yeah,
Roppongi,
that area, Omotesando,
yeah.
Those areas, there's a whole lot of them. And they're very, very profitable, and that's why. Because they import stuff that costs, if it was approved, it would cost a lot less, but it costs a shitload more because it's not approved, and they can get extra for that. So
that's, yeah. Is plastic surgery that popular here?
It's not major mm-hmm. overhaul, like reconstructive stuff.
Yeah.
But it's called puchiseke, which like mini plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And like small things, like, you know, getting real small, like wrinkles, like putting in fillers to get rid of
mm-hmm,
wrinkles,
mm-hmm.
You know, a Botox injection or two or things
yeah.
like that. Very minor things. That's extremely popular. It's actually kind of, it was a fad. I think it still is for a while. It's not as abundant as it is in like South Korea. Like
yeah, that. South or, Korea, they are kind of obsessed
it's
with
it. It's
kind of
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we wrote my editor on Kotaku, he wrote an article like showing a bunch of people, different people who all look exactly the same because
yeah.
they all wanted to look like the same person.
Yeah.
And it's really freaky.
Those beauty pageants where yeah. they basically have like a template of what a woman's face should look like, and they like bring in that to a plastic surgeon, and they go, make me look like this.
There was actually a thing in China. It was a problem where it was trended on Twitter or something, but someone mm-hmm. couldn't, like, they went to China, they got plastic surgery, and they couldn't leave the country because they didn't look like their passport anymore.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, yes. It showed up on, like, it trended on Twitter. I don't know if it was, like, national news. I'm sure it got picked up on some news blogs.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, some guy went to China. Was it a guy or a girl? I forget. Somebody went to China.
From where?
I don't, they're an Asian person. That's all I remember. I don't
probably
know.
Probably South Korea.
Possibly. Yeah, either it was either China to South Korea or South Korea to China, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they went to the country, they got plastic surgery, and they couldn't leave because they did not look like their passport photo anymore.
That's ridiculous.
But, yeah.
So, would you ever get plastic surgery?
No. No. Nah. I don't really see the need. I've grown comfortable with my own face. There were times when I was like, oh, I don't like how my eyes like this. I don't like how my nose is like this, but God, I sound like a girl. self-conscious tween when I say that, but I've grown comfortable with who I am and what I look like, so.
I've grown accustomed to my face. I think that's like a song from like some 1950s musical or something.
It'd be so easy if I could just smoke out and take someone else's body.
Yeah,
well, we'll get to that, I guess. Yeah, we will. Well, yeah, this. Yeah, I'm saying now. We might as well say now. This episode, season 9 of Supernatural is finished, and as is our wont with this podcast, we're going to dedicate an entire section, like the later section, to talking about Supernatural, but we have lots to say about season 9 itself.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to spend some time doing that.
So we'll warn you before, we'll tell you major spoilers ahead, so if you're not caught up, you should still listen.
Yes.
But
it's definitely worth it. But I don't know. If you haven't seen season 9, we're going to spoil some big stuff.
Yeah, you might be confused.
Yeah.
But I think you should still listen because
yeah.
we want
well,
everyone
like
to listen.
Well, like the cliffhanger stuff, the season ending stuff, that's major. That's
yeah,
that's
I
like,
know.
You know, you do not want that spoiled.
If someone spoiled that for me, I would literally stab them in the neck
yeah.
until they died. I'm not even kidding.
I think I would have too. Like if someone told me, yeah, this happens, I would just freeze, and then I'd find a random sharp object.
Die.
Yes.
But we'll talk about that
yes,
later.
Yes, we'll get into that. So what else has been going on aside from your illness?
Not much. What's going on with you?
Well, we had a party for our friend Dave.
Yeah, who left.
Yeah, I wanted him on. It would have been nice to, like, yeah, order him. And we could, I could have, like, set him down, like, to ask him why he doesn't like the French mistake, but...
Yeah.
But...
Well, because he has no soul, basically. But...
Yes, yeah, I mean, that was a lot of fun. I got to meet a bunch of his friends, mm-hmm. and we got to hang out.
I dove in a really, really cold pool.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was very unfortunate construction.
Yeah.
Because, like, okay, he was in a complex which had its own, like, pool.
If you which call, is it's really like, rare in Japan, yes, by the way.
And one of the reasons it's rare because there's not a lot of space, and because there's not a lot of space, it was a very small pool. Mm-hmm. It was like a wading pool. Actually, it was deep enough.
It was like 3.5 feet deep, yeah. Probably.
So it was like, I mean, you could sort of swim around in it a bit.
Yeah.
How long would you say it was? Like, how many feet? I mean, feet deep.
Maybe 20 feet.
20 feet, if that.
Yeah.
It was pretty small. It was it's not an Olympic size pool. It's not something you can get a workout in. It's something you can, like.
Maybe for the puppy Olympics.
Or your kids can splash around and have fun with. And it's also located between two buildings. So. It's very hard to get, like, Dave said it was supposed to be warmed or something like that.
Yeah, because it's, like, too early in the season, I don't think they.
Oh, okay, that's why. Yeah, because location-wise, it's located between two buildings, and the sun does not hit it, except when the sun's, like, right in the middle of the sky.
Yeah.
And for maybe, like, 5 minutes or so, or something like that. So it was cold.
It was really cold, yeah. And I was the only woman who jumped in.
Yep.
Because I need to prove myself to people. I think that's my own psychological problem.
And was it worth it?
Yes!
Okay. As long as it was worth it. Because, I chickened out. I did not have any swimwear.
Oh.
And I was not about to jump in my clothes.
Yeah, you would.
Although Dave offered to throw me in.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I'll just stick back and watch you guys have fun. And you guys were splashing around and, like, water was getting everywhere. And yeah, that was cold. Like, I didn't even get in the pool and that was cold. So.
But I mean, like, my summer vacations growing up, we're, like, going to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And Wisconsin doesn't get warm enough. And they have, like, lakes there. And the lakes definitely don't get warm enough.
Yeah.
So I was like, this reminds me of childhood. Being freezing in water.
Yeah. Back in New Hampshire, I went to a couple of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ice cold. Yeah. We had a brook behind our house.
Oh.
Yeah. In the summer, it was really nice.
Yeah.
And then I made the mistake of, like, checking out. It was, like, the spring and autumn. It was just like,
freezing, yeah.
Yes, very freezing. So, yeah, we had to say, he'd been here for like 3 years.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
And yeah, he was really sad to go. It was really sad to see him go.
But. And that's kind of the thing about being a foreigner in Japan, that like if you have foreigner friends, which most foreigners do,
yeah,
you eventually say goodbye to them. People don't stay here very long. I think like the longest I've ever heard of anyone staying here, maybe 12 years or something, 15 years, if you're not a Japanese citizen or Japanese. But I think on average, people stay here about 5 years. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so people, like, you get really, really close to people really quickly.
Yeah, and especially like, you develop a circle of friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, and eventually people leave, so.
Yeah. And everybody kind of knows everybody, too.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing. Like, one of my friends, fellow writer at Kotaku, Richard.
Yeah.
Like, it turns out, like, he knows somebody who I met. And it's just like, yeah, I know Richard. Yeah, okay. I know this guy who knows Richard. And I'm just like, wow, small world.
So. Yeah, and always, like, friending people on Facebook when you're like, you have, like, 10 mutual friends. Who are they? Oh, of course. Everybody knows that guy.
Yeah, if you live in Tokyo, you know somebody who knows somebody who knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody else you're gonna meet.
Unless you're totally KY.
Yes. What is KY?
KY is not a lubricant. In Japanese, it's kuki yomenai.
Yes. Which means?
Which literally means can't read the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But we use it, to mean like a party pooper. Like someone who just is socially awkward and can't read the room.
Yes.
So, like, when somebody is being awkward, Japanese people would be like, KY.
Yes.
which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very useful expression.
Japan has a lot of those.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, I mean, I always for me, just in English, fuck is the most versatile word out there. But Japan has a lot of stuff that's made up that really works. I mean, like you said, KY off the top of my head, that's the first thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, Japanese is a very interesting language right now. It's still evolving, despite
as all languages are. Mm-hmm.
But it's taking in... Japan has a lot of original English.
Yeah.
Like, words that...
My boom.
Yeah.
Which is old.
Yeah, like, was it tension?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tension is, it's like, tensile, tense. Like, yeah. You know, you know what it means in English. In Japanese, it means, like, morale.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, raise your tension means like, means raise your morale, which is kind of interesting. That's not what it means exactly, but.
Yeah, we call that katakana.
Yes.
English. Katakana is the, one of the simplified alphabets, phonetic alphabets of Japanese that's often used for foreign loan words. So.
I think the second oldest alphabet, I believe it was developed by men.
Yeah.
It was developed for men, whereas Hiragana, which is generally the first one people learn, actually, people who learn Japanese generally learn the Hiragana alphabet, but that one was developed for women.
Yeah. So, yes, back in the...
the old days.
The olden days.
Before we were born.
Well.
And let's see, what else has gone on? We got to see X-Men.
Yes!
The future past.
X-Men.
At last.
I was a little disappointed about how little a role Bishop had.
Mm.
I thought that they were going to establish those characters a little bit more. But, I mean, there wasn't time. It would have been too long of a movie.
It would have been a much more complex movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But for what it achieved, I really liked it. I think I think the general opinion that it's the best X-Men movie, I can agree with that.
Yeah. I think they did the whole time travel thing really
well. Yes. Spoilers, yes, Days of Future Past. Yeah. But it does involve, you know, if you've never heard, Days of Future Past involves time travel. I suppose that's all we can say. But
isn't that like the basic
plot
synopsis?
Yes. How did you feel about the stinger at the end?
Oh, with Apocalypse?
Yes.
Yeah. So I mentioned this maybe in the last podcast or the one before that, that I grew up with the cartoon.
Yes.
And Apocalypse was always probably the scariest villain for me. And knowing that he's going to be in the next movie, I've been waiting.
No guarantees he'll be in the next movie. He is. Because the next one is called X-Men Apocalypse.
I wonder if that's going to have Apocalypse in it.
I don't know. It might be something else. So,
but that villain was always the scariest because he can't die. I'm not really sure
his powers, like his power set, what it is. I know he's supposed to be super strong, telekinetic.
Yep.
He's supposed to be a genius. He's supposed to be like immortal.
Right. So they show him building the pyramids in the little teaser at the end.
Mm.
So he's obviously got that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Okay. This is going to be old news for any geeks who are listening, but Apocalypse was a man named En-Sabanur who lived in Egypt, and he basically went into hibernation because humanity wasn't ready for him. And he basically said...
a hipster.
Yeah, he would come back, he would return, I think, like, the thing was, like, this is kind of shady for me, I'm not 100% sure, but, like, he said he'd return, like, when, like, humanity had evolved. Like, basically when mutants... He came back when mutants powerful enough to stand by him would arise, and he would take over the world was the thing. That's kind of what the premise of Age of Apocalypse was that like a bunch of A-list mutants went back in time to prevent this is convoluted, but anyways, Professor Xavier's son went back in time to kill Magneto because he theorized that Magneto was the source of all problems for Xavier, and he ended up by accident killing Professor Xavier, and that
happens.
But the thing was that like his existence awoke Apocalypse. Like Apocalypse was like, oh, now the mutants are ready for me. Like mutants are powerful enough that they can stand by me, time to take over the world, and that caused the Age of Apocalypse.
And then he helped Bill and Ted do their social studies project,
right? Might as well. That's like comic logic.
Okay.
So.
And then Marty McFly was able to not bang his mother and make sure that his parents met, right?
Yes.
That was the plot of it.
Was it?
If I remember.
Wasn't it something about his kids?
Your
cat's Marty.
McFly!
Yes, but yeah, the... Have you heard how has the response been for?
I haven't heard anything.
I know that in Japan, anything Hugh Jackman is because he's really popular. Anything Hugh Jackman is instantly a hit.
Well, when we went, how many people were in the theater?
It was a weekday. That's
yeah.
So,
but it was Ladies' Day. I mean,
true.
Not that that's a popular movie, but
we got the premium seats,
yeah,
which was very nice.
Oh, that was that theater. Got good seats. It's older, but man,
yeah,
those seats
was,
are like
that was yeah. Oh, that was yeah. One thing I mentioned, like when we talked about that, that theater was definitely built during the bubble era.
Yeah.
People may not know about this, but in Japan went through a bubble era where like everything was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
To borrow something from the Lego movie.
Yep.
But everything was awesome, and there was loads of money everywhere. It was kind of like that whole banking bubble where banks are making hand over fist, except everybody was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very nice, and there was a lot of money. This is 70s, 80s, early 80s. And during that time, they're building lots of stuff, being very extravagant. You hear tales about...
And that's when like the arcades started coming up and like the video game, first
rise.
Wave.
Yeah. And, hold on a sec, sorry about that.
I hate it when people get phone calls.
To turn off my phone. Yes, but one of the things was during that bubble era was that the salaryman, the businessman,
the rise of the salaryman.
Yes, was his salary was a lot more, and he had a lot more money.
Yeah.
Well, for the time, I mean, I think
for inflation.
Yeah, that pay level has stayed the same, but.
Yep.
With inflation, basically, it's gone down, was
yep.
the thing. But, yeah, he had a lot of money to throw around. And you hear tales of, like, you know, people going to parties and things like that. And, like, you know, having a lot of fun. You know, their bosses would take them out to drinks every day. Like, things like that. And...
The good times will never end. Ha, 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 ha.
That sort of thing. And then the bubble burst. And then, whoops.
Kind of like 1920s America.
Yeah, hey.
In a way. Not as bad.
The economy does not keep rising on a steady stream. It fluctuates. So, but there are a lot of the buildings built during that area have this very distinctive, it's got a kind of a retro feel to it, but...
Well, yeah, looking at it now.
Yeah, but it's also, they've put in a lot more money. Like, are they making money out of this sort of thing? Like, the theater we went to was... Honestly, it was tiny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, by standards, it was tiny, but we each had like individual couches.
Oh yeah, that was. Ugh.
And like, I mean, I traded places with Graham so he could sit together with Scott.
Yeah.
And they put up the divider and so they could sit together. And
oh, you could put that up.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I was suggesting to Scott, like, you know. Do you want to snuggle? Or do you want me to trade with Graham so you two can snuggle?
Scott and Graham are basically like Xavier and Eric.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
Charles and Eric.
Charles and Eric. Yes. Or like Dean and Cass. Or well.
No.
No. No. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry about that. Yeah. That's,
no.
Dean and Cass is not. That's a one-way street. That's not a two-way street.
Yeah.
But yes. So in the theater it had how many seats would you say? Maybe 40.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is unreal because like the tickets I think are.
Well, it was the general ticket is like 1,800 yen, which is about $18.
Which is more than is it more than like some of the larger theaters?
No, more well, it depends on the theater. The larger ones, they can go up to like 2,000, $20 or so.
Yeah, so it wasn't.
Yeah, tickets
that much
are
more,
expensive
yeah.
in Japan. Movie tickets cost a lot, but. We were on like Ladies Night, which is every Wednesday is
sexist
discount
which night. I agree with.
Yes. So if like ladies, they can get in for $10.
Yep.
Whereas everybody else has to pay extra
for non 3D.
Yeah.
For just a regular 2D.
Yeah. You can get in for 1,000. Girls can get in for 1,000 yen. Guys, we have to shell out the standard price.
Mm-hmm.
But we also went in on Late Show. So,
oh, yeah.
Instead of being costing 1,800, it costs like 1,300 or $3,000.
Yeah, like so like in Japan, a matinee show is more expensive than an evening show.
Yes.
Which is the opposite of the U.S.
Yeah.
Right? So after like 6 p.m. in the U.S. in some theaters, it's more expensive, if I recall.
I don't know if it's changed at all, but... Yeah,
probably not. It's probably gotten... Maybe, if anything, they've gotten rid of matinees.
Possibly. But in Japan, like, if it depends on the ending time. Like, if the movie ends after 9, it's a late show. If it ends after, like, 11, it's a night show.
Ooh.
And the night shows, I think, are, like, 1,000 yen. Like, for everybody. I believe
so. Well, ours ended at, like, 11.
Okay, so we saw a night show, possibly? I don't know the exact... I don't work in a theater. I'm sorry. But
why don't you know this, Toshi?
I'm sorry. Well, there are... Okay, I know there's the standard daytime show, there's the night show, and the late show, and there's the night show. I'm not sure which one we went to, but we got... like, so guys got a discount, as well as girls, who got the sexist discount. But, so it didn't cost as much for us. And the theater kind of had a retro vibe to it. Like, the concession stand was very small. It was built like the theater was inside a hotel. If that's any that tells you anything about like the economy at the time.
A hotel, and then there's also like kind of a mini. In it? Yeah. There's an aquarium and like a mini arcade amusement kind of.
Yeah, they're all inside a hotel.
Yeah.
So
which is also a hotel that was built in the 70s, I think.
Yep, during the bubble era.
Yeah,
like that's the bubble era. So
the Shinagawa Prince Hotel.
It's kind of like it wants to be a Las Vegas hotel in a way.
It really looks like that, like with the neon lights.
It doesn't have a casino, but it's got like amusement stuff. It's got a movie theater with how many screens? I don't know, like five, maybe something like that. It's got an aquarium and like a little amusement area.
There's a shopping area with restaurants.
Yes.
Like, if you go there, it kind of looks like a mini Vegas kind of area.
And so, like, the theater we went to was, as we said, small, but the seats were really nice. And the screen... it's all right. Cough it up. And the screen was not giant, but it was a movie theater. I mean, it was... It was luxurious, and it was nice.
Oh, luxurious.
Yes. So.
It was gorgeous.
Yes, it was a good movie.
As many people say in English here.
it was a good movie-going experience. Yep. I think there's a movie theater, not exactly near where I live, but has a similar sort of, they're called Premier Seats.
Yeah.
Like, it's a scaled-down size, in terms of size, movie theater, like but the seats are very nice. The one I went to had like reclining seats.
Oh, those are dangerous. I fall asleep in those.
Well, have I ever fallen asleep in a movie? I've fallen asleep watching movies at home, but I've never fallen asleep in the theater.
I'm trying to think of probably a really boring movie.
I think Lily was falling asleep during Desolation of Smog.
Yeah, probably. But that's a long movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, every time that smog showed up, she was just, like, I could hear her, like, her breathing just changed. Quietly snoring. Yes. Yeah. But, anyways, yes, that was a very enjoyable experience. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go there again, actually.
Yeah, but I like that theater. I mean, it's convenient to where I live, so that's why I like going there. And not a lot of people go there.
Yeah.
Some of the nicer theaters, like in Shinjuku or Shibuya.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a million people there, and like the line for the concession is really long. I hear someone singing "Let It Go,"
oh dear God.
And that just again. Like made me that just made my brain have a little explosion. So, "Let It Go" is everywhere.
Yes, I believe the movie is currently I think animated movies.
Yeah.
It's like third or fourth place. My info is
for most like tickets sold
or for sales.
For
revenue.
What would 1 and 2 be?
They're both Miyazaki movies.
Oh, of course.
I'm fairly certain. I think it's like Mononoke.
Maybe Sento Chihiro.
Yes, I definitely. Spirited Away is definitely one of them. I'm not sure like what the second one is, but I'm fairly certain the top two are both Miyazaki movies.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, well, let. Why do you want, I want to call that movie Let It Go for some reason.
Let It What?
I want to call the movie Let It Go. Frozen. Frozen is going strong. I think it's still in theaters in Japan. That came out like...
Yeah, it's still in but I saw an ad for the Blu-ray. I was waiting for someone in front of an electronics store. Mm-hmm. And they had a flat screen displaying the commercial. And there was this little boy watching it. And they kept playing it on repeat, like, I was waiting for, like, 10 minutes, and that little boy was just staring up at it the whole time, and kind of, like, swaying back and forth, and it was playing, like, just the chorus of the song, basically, in Japanese.
Of course.
And I was like, man, kids can watch the same thing over and over again, although I'm one to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many times have I seen, you know, Everybody Hates Hitler? How many times? I've seen that so many times.
I gotta rewatch that one.
I love it. I actually copied it over into my PS Vita so I can watch it in the train.
I rewatched, which one? What's the episode called?
Describe it?
I don't want to give spoilers now.
Is it, what season?
The one with Kane.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Do you want to switch over to Supernatural now?
Not just that. There was actually okay. one other thing I did want to mention.
Yeah.
But yeah, how long have we been going so far? We're about 30 minutes in. But one thing I did want to mention was that in terms of news, this isn't exactly new news, but it does relate to Japan, and this is something that hasn't broken in Japan. So I don't know how people are going to respond to it. But apparently, like Michael Bay said, he wanted to. He was asked. What movie franchise he'd like to do, and he said a live action Evangelion.
No! Which, oh my god. Okay, alright. Michael Bay.
Go take it away.
Pain and Gain, good movie. Funny. Did
I have
you
not
see
seen,
it?
No, I haven't.
It's
not.
Good.
I want to. I've, like, everything I've heard, because I, getting to my opinion of Michael Bay, I do not like him. As a person, like I love some of his movies. Like I love The Rock. That is one of my favorite.
I've
movies.
Never seen that.
It's terribly quotable, and it's fun. It's not a good. It's not a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, quote marks. But it's a fun movie, and it's very enjoyable. I mean, Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage. I love quoting their lines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Do you think it's good just on the merit of the actors, though?
Not just the actors, but the whole setup, it's kind of contrived, but the whole setup of, like, they take over Alcatraz and they're, like, threatening with chemical weapons was very interesting, and I liked it. So, I mean, I like The Rock. It's one of my favorite movies.
Maybe I should check it out. I mean, I've seen...
It's a lot of fun.
I've seen Armageddon.
And
the Transformers movies...
Pardon me while I smack my head against the mic.
Pain and Gain.
I still need to see that. I heard the Spill Crews, like everyone's opinion of it was like, wow, like, we did not expect this from Michael Bay.
It was Michael Bay until the end when they showed directed by Michael Bay.
Oh, they didn't show it at the beginning?
I might have been like looking at something else.
Were they pulling an After Earth Shyamalan thing where like they don't show his name at all until the end? Or...
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
But maybe I just didn't register it or something like that.
Okay.
And it has the Michael Bay, like, especially with the Transformers movies, everything looks like it's baking in the sun.
Everything's blue and, was it teal and aqua, I think it is?
But, like, orangey as
orange
well.
Orange and blue, yeah. Everybody's face looks orangey.
Yeah.
That's a very, very basic thing in that, like, the colors, the orange and blue, because they're opposite sides of the spectrum, the color spectrum, they pop out. And they that's why they have that thing, like all these movie posters that use the same basic colors, blue and orange.
Yeah,
Michael Bay does that a lot.
Yeah, and he likes his actors really tan.
Yeah.
Like, to the point of where it's kind of unhealthy how tan they are.
Yeah.
But it absolutely fits with the setting. Now, I can't remember if it takes place in Florida or California.
I think it was Florida. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's from what I've heard. Again, I'm going on word of ear, so.
Yeah.
It's stuff I've heard, so I'm not 100% sure. I still need to see it. I do want to see it.
And it's based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how much of it is actually true. And actually throughout the movie, they kind of have like a subtitle that pops up that mm-hmm. says like, keep in mind, this is a true story. Or, like, keep in mind, this actually happened. Because some of it is so ridiculous uh-huh. that you're like, okay, Michael Bay, you had to have written that in. But they're like, no, this actually happened. Like,
really?
This isn't... I mean, it's not a spoiler, because it's not like...
Well, I've heard they do crazy shit in it.
So there's a part where Dwayne The Rock Johnson's character is supposed to get rid of a body.
Mm.
And he... has, like, the hands from the body, and he tries grilling them to, like... Because they're like, okay, we gotta burn the hands. Like, they look up how to, like, get rid of a body.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, okay, we gotta, like, burn the hands and feet. So he's outside, like, outside this warehouse, trying to grill the hands and feet, and there's, like, people driving by and stuff, and they're kind of like... okay, there's a guy barbecuing outside. And you're like, this is so ridiculous. This didn't happen. And then as soon as you would think that, something pops up on the screen that's like, this actually happened. The guy actually tried to do this. So it's a really funny movie. It's really entertaining. Like all Michael Bay movies, there's no downtime.
Mm.
So, like, if you're having, you know... a lazy Sunday, put it on, and you'll feel, like, really pumped.
Yeah.
And I like stupid meatheads doing stupid things, so...
Yeah, like I said, I want to see Peyton Gay. Because everything I've heard about it says it's, like, it's not... It's definitely Michael Bay, but it's good. Michael Bay! So, and Michael Bay can make good, enjoyable movies. I have my doubts about the Teenage...
oh, God!
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Just looks... The turtles don't... translate into live action. And Megan Fox is April O'Neil. Come on.
I'm forced to wonder how she got back on his good side, on Michael Bay's good
side. She took back that Hitler comment.
Or she took him back stage.
Oh, and... just because she's a hot girl doesn't mean she had to do that.
knowing Michael Bay, like what I've heard about him and like everything I've seen about him, I would not put that past him.
Wow.
That's the thing. Like, Michael Bay, everything, he gives off the atmosphere of a frat boy.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about him screams frat boy. And everything I've heard, everything he says, everything, like, it screams, like, this guy has an ego. He cannot take, like, direct criticism.
Yeah.
He's egomaniacal.
Mm-hmm.
He's a frat boy. He's a bully, basically. He is a bully who managed to make it.
Yep.
And so I don't
bullies
like...
bullies tend to make it.
I don't like Michael Bay as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I like some of his movies. Like I said, I like The Rock. Mm-hmm. The Island was surprisingly fun.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, he
That's
did that.
Him. Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
I enjoyed Armageddon on... It's like a guilty pleasure on a, on a
me
terrible
too.
Level. Like, it's sort of like... It's a movie where you have to throw away your brain. You like just like fuck logic. You know, okay, there's a bunch of miners going to space. It's just like, okay, like, if you can go with it, it's fun and enjoyable. It's dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
And it's not a good movie.
And I like dumb stuff.
But yeah, it's dumb, and it's like if you're drunk or like you just wanna unwind and just like you don't want to think about stuff.
It's a good
escapist.
Movie.
It's an escapist.
I think it would be good to do a drinking game with that.
The Transformers movies. The first one was okay. I will say the first one was okay, and people say like the third one is the best.
Really?
Honestly, but that's only the second one is so terrible. Like,
yeah, the second one's horrible.
If you watch only the first one and do not watch like the second or third, like as a standalone, this is a singular movie. Okay, it's okay. It's like if you're a diehard Transformers fan from the 80s, it goes against a lot of your instincts. But,
so how would he tackle something like Evangelion? Because Evangelion is not. The action is not the feature of the
anime.
That's
the thing. It's And it's a lot, and that's the anime that kind of revolutionized, it made the modern anime. It was the transition
point. In terms of themes and stuff.
It was very psychological. Mm-hmm. It used a lot of symbolism. I mean, like, I don't know if we got this on, are you alright?
Yep.
Okay, I don't know if we've gotten this on recording or this is one of our lost episodes, but you mentioned that, you know, you like the symbolism. Like that was what drove you into Evangelion itself.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of religious symbolism.
Yep.
I haven't watched anything that was made after the first two movies that were made. End of Evangelion and
Death and Rebirth and End of Evangelion.
Yeah, yeah. But especially those movies, there's a lot of symbolism in them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, throughout, there's a lot of kind of the same sorts of things that Alien had with, like, birth symbolism.
Mm-hmm. Is that the same person?
It's the same person singing Let It Go.
Again.
I'm trying to be deep here. I'm going to go knock on her door and be like, excuse me, but I've heard that song like 5,000 times.
Yes. Let it go.
Somebody said it's this generation's My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that.
So anyway, Evangelion, like the pods and stuff that they're in,
mm-hmm.
and the liquid is kind of that syrupy red. It's supposed to be embryonic fluid. Yeah. They're plugged in, and they use terms that are like the same as like birth terms, pregnancy terms. So there's a lot of that kind of symbolism.
Also is the fact that for someone going through psychological puberty, it's very, very therapeutic.
Yeah. I watched it when I was 14, and the characters are 14in the show.
And a lot of what they go through, not just like, you know, the fighting giant monsters and all that, which is probably what draws most people into it, but the fact that a lot of the stuff they talk about is actual turmoil that of puberty. And like, you know, the whole point at the very end of the TV series. Should I spoil this?
The show's like, how many years? Almost 20 years old.
Yes, but like people, I mean, it is one of those staples that like people always say you should watch.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone's going to get into anime, it's probably something they're going to watch. So I don't really want to spoil it too much. But essentially, it's about coming to terms and accepting yourself.
Yep.
Accepting who you are. You know, and dealing with the world and, you know, finding your place in it. So it's very, like I said, it's very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me get through a lot of rough times. Mm-hmm. Apparently, like the director, Hideaki Anno, he was going through his own.
Yeah.
He was dealing with his own demons when he was making it, and he put them out in his work, which is kind of why the last two episodes kind of pull a Lost.
Oh yeah.
I it's
don't
kind
really
of
remember them that well.
That's the thing. Is like it builds. Okay, I won't spoil exactly what happens, but it's something people should probably know going into it, is that like the whole I think it's 26 episodes long.
Yeah.
Up until episode 24, it just builds up all this stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Builds up a huge mystery. Like there's this underlying plan.
Yeah.
That like the sort of the Lilith. Masterminds. Like the masterminds, are they evil? Are they good? But there's like people in the background, this sort of like Illuminati sort of group of people who have this huge plan, and it's building up. It's all this stuff is going on. There's a reason why they're doing all this stuff. There's a reason why they're fighting all these giant monsters. There's a reason why the giant monsters are coming. There's a reason, you know, it's all that, and it builds and builds and builds. And then the last two episodes are entirely internal. It all takes place inside the mind of the main character.
And so many fans were disappointed by that.
Yeah.
And that the two movies that came out in 2000.
No,
before.
Before that. Because I saw them when I was in college. And so I was...
Late 90s?
Yeah, late 90s.
Those were basically Anno's response saying, oh, okay, you want a more satisfactory ending? Here you go!
Yes.
And so
they kind of make less sense in a way.
Yeah, they make less sense. So Death and Rebirth is kind of like a clip show.
Death and Rebirth basically said the first half... Death, which basically covers the entire series, all the major plot points, and then Rebirth sort of gives a little preview of what's to come.
Yeah, and End of Evangelion is more
it takes what happens after rebirth. It covers rebirth and what happens after it, and the whole thing. It's an interesting because it's a movie, but it has like a commercial break point in it. It has a specific point where it splits. I saw it in the theater, like they actually play the credits.
That's right. Yeah.
In the middle of it, they play the credits. I was like, is it over? they're going to make another movie. Oh, why is nobody leaving?
Nobody ever leaves.
And it's like, and then it started up again. I was like, this is a preview. No, this is still going on. And it was, so the movie actually splits like a TV show into two, but it's with a middle break in it. But the second half gets really weird.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. It gets really weird.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it to watch.
It's almost traumatizing.
Yeah.
As a kid, even the first half, you do not want to watch. As a kid, no. Yeah.
I actually did those two movies as like a final project in high school. Like I took
mythology.
High school,
I think. That's still gonna leave a mark. But yeah. High school, you can still kind of deal with. I like. Elementary, that will leave nightmares.
Oh, no. Don't let elementary
school. Even junior high, that's going to be nightmares.
It's definitely a mature series. It's definitely worth it to watch. Even if you don't like anime or any of that kind of stuff, it doesn't have some of the same tropes. I mean, it has the school uniform kind of trope and like the...
It created a bunch of its own tropes.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The quiet girl who shows no emotion was defined by Evangelion.
Oh, absolutely.
The quiet girl who secretly, internally, likes the main character but is unable to express emotion, that was something that was defined by Evangelion.
Can you guess which character I liked the most?
Is it one who gets her eye? Wait, I'm not sure I want to guess. Which one?
Oh, I definitely related with Asuka.
Okay, yeah.
I was definitely an Asuka kind of person. But, I mean, everybody kind of relates to Shinji as well.
Yeah, kind of related.
Boys, girls.
Yeah, because he's the protagonist for one thing.
Yeah.
But he's the one dealing with the biggest troubles.
Yep.
So, and anyone who's gone through them can relate.
Yeah.
Anyone who's going through them can relate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a relief to see, like, oh, somebody gets it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the new movies, actually, there's currently three new movies. Mm-hmm. You've said you haven't seen them.
I haven't seen them.
They're basically retreading. It's called The Rebuild of Evangelion. So they're taking it in a new direction.
Is it worth it to see?
The first two are definitely worth it. The first movie is basically TV episodes 1 to 6.
Okay.
It's the basic, it's that very famous original 6 episodes, which end with him, like, you know, getting close to Rei, and like Rei opening up.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically, oh, I can trust this person. That sort of relationship forming. The second episode starts going in a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And the third episode goes bonkers. That's all I can say.
The third
episode is going to be the divider, whether you like it or not. The third episode, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. So I hesitate to say if you're going to love it too, because it goes in a very, very, it has a huge tonal change. Without spoiling anything, that's all I can say. It has an extreme, like, I can't emphasize enough how much of a tonal change it has.
Maybe I should do a rewatch. I've been rewatching series. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm on South Park, which is going to take me forever. I'm only on season 3. But Evangelion, maybe I'll take a break with South Park for a bit and rewatch Evangelion, because I haven't watched it probably since
a lot of its stuff school, I will tell you now, because I can just going straight from memory, a lot of its stuff is very dated.
Looking
back, a lot of his stuff is very of its time.
Mm-hmm.
But even the animation, which was top-notch at the time, is still...
Oh, really? I heard that they...
Oh, yeah, they had a lot of... They had a very, very tight budget constraint, and they made do with what they could.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff, like... I hate to say this, because people are going to not be able to not notice anything once I mention it, but there's a lot of scenes where people covering their mouths, so they didn't have to animate the mouths.
Oh, my God, that's so cheap.
Yeah, that's one of the cheap tricks of the trade.
No, can't unsee!
Yeah, like, they have people, like... They hide the mouth, so you don't have to see them. Like, the main... The main character's father is always sitting with his hands
really?
In front of...
Really? And that's so iconic. That's his character.
That pose is so iconic. But if you think about it, it's so they don't have to animate his mouth.
That's bullshit. That makes me really upset now.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Because, like...
He's always sitting with his hands, like, you know, with his fingers interlaced in front of his mouth.
Yep.
And that's because...
His white gloved hands.
And like his nose resting on his fingers. Yeah. And his mouth, you know, his mouth between his hands sort of hidden. And you can't see it. That's because you can't see
it. Damn it, Toshi!
Yep.
You ruined everything!
Yep, they don't have to animate his mouth moving. So yeah, it's kind of...
Crap.
No,
I can't rewatch it. I know they reused a lot of the music.
Yep.
And some of the background animation.
Yep.
Or sets, or what do they call that in animation?
The stills. The background cells.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
And they do a lot of, but they did it very creatively. Was one of the things that I definitely give to that series. So it doesn't look it. You don't know. Like if I hadn't mentioned that, a lot of people wouldn't realize that.
Yeah.
But it was very creative in what it did and how it did it, and the animation, the quality itself was very good.
Mm-hmm.
It was revolutionary for its time.
I like the character designs.
Simple and pleasing to the eye. Even the design of the Evangelions.
Yeah.
That was interesting, because, like, when people saw the ads, they thought he was the main Evangelion was the bad guy.
Oh, yeah, because it
looks evil.
Mm-hmm.
And
the purple one?
Yeah. Even in the first episode, the second episode, when it shows the battle, what actually happens, people were like, is this thing the good guy?
Yeah, so, I mean, that could be one of the philosophical questions. Yeah. Are we the good guys? Is humanity the protagonist?
Which is something I just don't think Michael Bay can do.
No, he's not subtle.
No.
He doesn't understand what the word subtle is. I don't think he even has the letters S-U-B-T-L-E in his alphabet. Mm. So, yeah.
So... Anyways.
Anyway.
If Michael Bay, he said he wanted to, but it's not saying that he will. So, of course, I would not put it past the owners. I don't think Gainax owns Evangelion anymore. I think Anno took it to a different company, which is the company that's making the rebuild, I think. I'm fairly certain. I'm not 100% sure. But anyways, I don't know if they would say no to if Michael Bay approached them saying, I want to make this movie.
I don't think they should. Do it. I mean, Pacific Rim was kind of Evangelion.
Yeah.
Like,
I can see that.
A reimagining of it. I liked it. It's not something I really want to rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had seen it in theater.
I saw it in IMAX 3D, which was an experience.
Yeah, I wish I had. But it's kind of similar.
Yeah.
Like these mysterious kind of things.
The dubbed version of the Pacific Rim, which was extremely popular because I may have mentioned it here, but they used a lot of, they used a lot of veteran voice actors who generally do handle a lot of the mech anime, things like that.
Oh, really?
But the voice actor for Mako Mori was the voice actor for Ayanami Rei.
Oh, really?
For Rei from Evangelion.
Why didn't they have... The actual actress.
Well,
doing
she's probably her... she probably wasn't not is not that physical and voice actors don't tend to be very very visual people.
No, I mean, why didn't they use Mako Mori to do her own voice?
Oh well, I think what was her name? Rinko Kikuchi.
Mm-hmm.
She could have, but I think the fact that they got the dubbing voice cast was a bigger selling point because it is extremely popular among the otaku of Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of the rare American movies that actually grossed more in Asia than in the US.
Yeah.
In North America, so yeah.
So anyways, that is our general talk. I think it's time to move on to to Supernatural. People who haven't seen season 9 or are very wary and don't want spoilers. we'll try not to destroy everything, but we are going to spoil a major
at
the very end.
Things are going to be spoiled like month-old milk.
Yes. But we are we're approaching about an hour now, so I think we might want to put in a slight break here and then move on.
Sure.
I think. Okay. So we will be back, I guess, momentarily for people listening to this. It might take about a 5-10 minute break for us. So we will talk about Supernatural then.
Yay!